God is good, isn't he? Let me try that again. I think you got a better response. God is good, isn't he? Amen. I knew that's how you felt. I just wanted to give you a chance to say so. I was reading an article this last week, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, about the attributes of an unhealthy church. And it listed 5 attributes, and the very first one it listed was the unhealthy church. One of the easiest ways to see that a church is unhealthy is to see that it has no vision. That makes sense, doesn't it? Because after all, the Bible verse, the verse one I've chosen today in Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So that makes sense. If the church doesn't have vision, we're unhealthy and probably will perish. I wonder if you've thought lately about the vision for this church. I wonder if you've thought lately about the vision for the church. Because remember, the church is the body of believers. It's the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the names and the sign away. The church is the body of Christ. And I wonder if you've thought lately about the vision of the church. Remember last week what I asked you? Why do we exist, right? I asked you that. And I want us to continue to think about that this morning. Why do we exist right here in Motley? Why does the church exist around the world? And remember this verse from Proverbs 29:18 that says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Now I also like, that happens to be the King James Version. I also like the New Living Translation. Listen to what it says. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. Some application today, ain't there? When people do not accept divine guidance, we run wild. You say, "Jim, those two translations don't sound anything alike." Well, you look real closely, they do. We look real closely, they do. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. May I be completely honest and open with you this morning? When the Lord first called Sherry and I to the ministry, and we came to the Motley Free Methodist Church, I didn't have any vision. I didn't really know what vision for the church was. Well, I guess I maybe did have one goal in mind, and that was survival. But I really didn't have any vision because I didn't know what vision was for the church. But you know what? As I look back now, friends, God had a vision for this congregation, for this community. God had a vision for you and me and this church and the church, the body of believers. God had a vision for this little community. Where there is no vision, the people perish. God didn't want people perishing. Remember I said that just a while ago. God's not willing that any should perish. And today I have a very clear vision. I have a very clear vision, brothers and sisters. It's no longer survival. It's no longer survival and existence. You see, friends, when the people have no real vision, they perish, the Bible says. And God had a vision for us, and today we have a vision. And after a few years of survive and exist mode right here at Motley Free Methodist Church, God began to enlighten me and to enlighten us that He's got a plan. Amen? God has had a plan. You have been part of that plan. Some of you have committed your lives to Christ in the last few years, and some of you have taken your walk to a new spiritual level, and God is using you in everyday living. God had a plan. God had a vision for us, and now we have a vision. We have a vision. I'm thankful that God had a plan for us, aren't you? I'm very thankful about that. I was listening to T.D. Jakes a while back. Every now and then, I just got to listen to Bishop Jakes. I don't know if you've listened to, if you know T.D. Jakes or not, but he's quite a guy. And I was listening to T.D. Jakes the other day, and And he was talking about God's blessing. And listen to what he said. This caught my mind because I knew I was going to talk about vision someday. He said, T.D. Jakes, quote, about God's blessing, "I wouldn't have given it to you if I didn't expect you to build on it." That's for us. "I wouldn't have given it to you if I didn't expect you to build on it." God has blessed us with a blessing. He had a vision, and he expects us to build on his blessing. Amen? He expects us to build on that. You say, "Jim, that's just some old man's opinion." Well, I think it's a pretty good opinion, because I think God has an expectation of us when he has blessed us, and he's had a vision for us too to have that same kind of vision. And I want to assure you today, friends, that we have a vision for this church. You say, "Jim, what do you mean about building a new church?" Yeah, we want to do that. I think that's part of the vision. Oh, what do you mean about Awana Kids or VBS? Or what do you mean? Vision is all of those things and more. Vision is for our community. Vision is for the future. Vision is for to prosper, not just to survive, but to prosper. Vision today is to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? That should be the vision of every church. More so than checking off names of the roster, building the membership, our vision should be to see that people know Jesus and build the kingdom of God. That's part of our vision. Our vision is to make disciples. We talked last fall for something like 8 weeks about, am I a fan or am I a follower? Our vision is to make disciples, reproducing followers of Jesus. Everyday living. Our vision is to help people grow in Christ and be, by the Holy Spirit of God, be different tomorrow than I was yesterday. By the grace and the power of the Lord Jesus, to be growing, to be disciples. Young and old alike, our goal is to help people make decisions for Christ and to follow Him. Part of our vision is to train leaders. Some of you know that we had 136 different kids in VBS. Praise God. We have 80 to 90, sometimes 90 plus in Awana. We have children in Sunday school in children's church every week. And part of our vision is to train and make leaders. But some of them are not just children. Some of them are you. Our vision is to train up some of you to be the pastors and the missionaries and the evangelists and the leaders for the future. We have a vision to train up leaders that are responsible kingdom builders. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I'm not interested in perishing in that context. Friends, God has had a vision for this church. God has a vision for His church. God has a vision for us. And I think that the people around us, from Leader and beyond, and Lincoln and beyond, and Pillager and Staples and beyond, and the whole circle that we live in, the people deserve to hear about Jesus. And they're going to hear about Jesus, and they're going to see about Jesus the way the church lives and loves them and acts around them. And I wanted to call to your attention just for a few minutes the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. If you've got your Bible, turn to Matthew 25. I'm going to start at 31, then I'm going to, a couple verses there, jump to 41. And I asked you last week, why do we exist? What is our vision? Why do we exist as a church? Why do we exist as people? What is our vision? And here's what Jesus is giving us he's portraying this picture. At the end, when God draws the line in the sand and says, earth is over. Life as humanity has known it for these thousands of years is over. There's going to come a time that's going to be reality. Here's what Jesus said, Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. There's going to come a time when God, the Son of God, is going to come in His glory with His angels, and there's going to be a separation of people. What He's saying is some are going to be ready for heaven and some are not. Verse 41. You can read the whole story, and I'd encourage you to do that this afternoon, but I'm going to jump to verse 41 for a time's sake. Then He will also, this is Jesus, then He will also say to those on the left hand, remember those are the goats, they've been separated out now, got the sheep on the right, got the goats on the left. He will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister to you? When did that happen? And Jesus says, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And I think again of our church. I think of the church. And I think of why do we exist? What is our vision? Let me tell you a quick story that somebody sent me on email just the other day that's got real good application here. Large church, 7,000-8,000, was about to introduce a new pastor. Everybody knew he was coming. They were getting the hype going and everything, and they knew this new pastor was coming, all of a sudden the church parking lot is filling up. There's literally thousands of people coming in, and out in the parking lot is this homeless guy. And he's looking kinda nasty. He's looking kind of dirty and probably kind of scruffy. And he's out there probably even doing a little panhandling. And people are filing by him, hundreds of them. Hundreds of them are filing by him. And a couple stopped and said, can I do something for you? A couple of them stopped and said, why don't you come on in? But hundreds of church people were filing by him. And pretty quick, this homeless guy, there was thousands in the sanctuary. Pretty quick, this homeless guy, he comes in and he sits down in the back row. I don't know, maybe he didn't even smell too good. I don't know. But I know his appearance wasn't that good. And the service begins, and they're doing their music like we just did, and they're doing their thing, and everybody's feeling good about each other. And the board, completely aware of this plan, a couple of the board members get up and they say to the church, now I want to welcome you, I want to introduce to you our new pastor, and I want to welcome him in, and I want him to come and say some words to you today. And everybody's clapping and yippying and yaying and looking forward to this new pastor. They got several thousand members, and up out of the back row, down the aisle, comes the homeless guy. Comes right to the pulpit. People are beginning to gasp. What's he doing up there? And the homeless guy, who everybody assumed was homeless and really didn't have any time for him, the church people didn't really have any time for him out there, the homeless guy announced, I'm your new pastor. And I want to tell you something, what I've just experienced. I've just experienced a club. I haven't experienced a church. Because Jesus said, this is how a church lives. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you put some clothes on me. When I was in the prison, you come and visited me. When I was lonely, you stopped to say hi. That's how the church lives, the pastor said. By this time, there was people weeping and convicted all over the church. They walked right by him and never said a word. And I wonder sometimes, brothers and sisters, why do we exist in the church today? To just gather together on Sunday morning and go home and call her a week? Or do we, who call ourselves by the name of Christian, live the life and walk the talk Monday through Saturday also, or even in the parking lot when somebody doesn't look the same as us, is sitting there looking for a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. What is our vision, brothers and sisters, for this community? What is our vision for this church? Yeah, I happen to think that it's a new building, because I think there's more to do. I think there's a lot more to do. But God has blessed us, brothers and sisters. He's blessed me. He's blessed you. He's blessed us. Amen? God has blessed us. He's blessed some of us with the ability to teach and to preach and to share. He's given some of you that extra special blessing to love that neighbor, to love that homeless person, to love that person in jail, to love that down and outer a little bit more than anybody else. He's given us that kind of blessing, and we need to use it. He's given some of us the gift to give and to pray, and we need to use these gifts to bring glory to Him. Oh, what a day that, what a sad day. These people, you could quantify them, say, today as some in the church, because they come back and said, "Lord, I never saw you hungry." And God says, "But you saw my child here hungry and you did nothing about it. You saw my people in prison and you did nothing about it." What a day, what an eye-opener that's going to be for these multitudes. "In as much as you have not done it unto any of these, you've not done it to me," Jesus said. And so, friends, I just happen to believe that this is why we exist, to minister to the least of our community, to the hurting, to the lost, to the lonely, to the hungry, to the naked, to the blind. I just happen to believe this is why we exist. To preach the good news of the gospel to the poor, as Jesus said. I happen to believe that's why we exist. My vision is no different than yours, to tell our communities that God loves you, Christ died for you, and to make disciples. Remember the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Go therefore and make disciples. My vision is no different than that. Yours is no different than that, friends. And so He's given me this passion for the missing. That's why they invited me to Des Moines a couple of days ago to share about personal evangelism. And I'm going to talk in the near future about corporate evangelism. That's all of us. He's given me a passion for the missing from the fold of God. Time is running out. We need to tell them about Jesus. That's why we exist. We need to help people along the pathway in life. And I'm not talking about doing these things that Jesus lifted to gain our entrance into heaven. I'm talking about doing them as a response to being madly and passionately in love with Jesus. There's a difference. This is in response to being in love with Jesus. That's why His church does this. Let me just close with this, and then we're going to get ready for communion. I've kind of taken a liking to this Tony Evans quote about the world around us is bleeding. You've heard me say that before. The world around us is bleeding. They hurt physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually. And I've kind of taken a liking to that terminology that Brother Tony used. And I believe, friends, we are together in Motley Free Methodist Church, or whatever church you come from today. I believe every church has similar visions. But I believe we are in existence today to offer the bleeding some hope. Amen? I believe we exist to offer the bleeding and the hurting and the dying of the world some hope. Some hope in Christ. You say, "Jim, but yeah, but I got cancer," or "yeah, but my spouse left me," or "yeah, but I lost my job," or "yeah, but I lost my child." Friends, our hope in Christ is eternal. And I'm not minimizing your pain. Please don't think that I am. But we have an opportunity to have an eternal hope. that lasts more than today and this event and the next, that eternal hope in Christ. And the church exists to help the bleeding and help them to know that there's an eternal hope. And they might just see that in your actions, how you come along and love that down and outer. Superintendent Mark loves to tell us, and I think a lot of you have heard this, he loves to tell us he used to be a homeless drunk. He's now our superintendent because somebody loved the down and outer. I'm going to talk about the lady that was caught in adultery last week, a down and outer. And I'm going to talk about the response of Jesus to her. Why do we exist, friends? What is our vision? I hope it's to tell the good news, to come alongside and love our neighbors, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, to build disciples, to train leaders. I hope it's all of that. To build another building, to expand our building so we can do it even in greater quantity for the kingdom of God. Not for a pat on the back for the Free Methodist Church or Jimmy the one, but to the glory of God. And I just hope that, I hope that you'll pray. I hope that you'll seek the face of God. I got a vision to reach our community for Jesus, and I hope you do too. I got a vision to invite more kids to Awana and VBS, and I hope you do too. I got a vision to celebrate more baptism just like we did last week, because people are coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus and they want to say, look what I've done. I want to be baptized. And so my vision is no different than yours, but it's to do what God has called us to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer and prepare our hearts for communion.